it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, they say momentum is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. Well, today, momentum isn't pitching. Ubaldo Jimenez is pitching. So we're about to find out. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. On today's manager's report, Dylan Bundy last night, one hit shutout, 12 strikeouts. A lot of fun to watch. Normally, I'll ask you what was working on a particular day for a particular guy. In this case, was it everything was working for him?
You know, Rock, we've talked about Earl Hershiser used to have that great saying. He said you need command of one pitch to compete, two to win, and three to dominate. And, you know, that was him last night. I know when he flipped in a curveball strike in about the third or fourth inning, I know how dugouts feel. They're over there going, really? He's going to have command of that too? And, you know, of course, you give a catcher those type of weapons to work with. But it all started with command of the fastball, and that was fun to watch.
And when Zach Britton began to warm, top of the ninth, we assumed, okay, or in the bottom of the eighth, that he was going to be coming into the game. What went into the decision to bring Dylan back out? Did you talk to him in the dugout? Did he campaign for it? Was it just kind of a gut feel he deserves to go out there batter to batter?
Well, you know, that's not something you ask a player, especially a young pitcher. It's not fair to them. It's not like you go with the mound and say, hey, you want to walk this guy or you want to face this guy. That's not their job. It's not fair to put them in that position. You know, either say, go get this guy out or don't. And that's not something that they should have to make those decisions on. But, you know, we were going hitter to hitter with him, and he had had we knew we were going to take him to 110, slightly above in a perfect world today, and we were going hitter to hitter. We had plenty of coverage there with Zach, and actually with a six-man bullpen now with Donnie Hart gone, that really helps us for today and tomorrow. We're trying to get to September 1st with the call-ups with the six-man bullpen. But so, you know, there's a lot of things played into it, mostly that Dylan wasn't in any stressful situation and felt like he – served the opportunity, and there was no health risk involved.
Scope hits a home run, so of course Manny has to hit two. Has it been kind of fun to watch? It's almost like they have this competition going right now with the home run lead.
Well, you know, obviously we needed all four of those runs last night, and some people may not think that on paper, but to give that cushion and allow certain other things to happen. But you know, as long as it stays in the context of the team winning, and you know, when you hit a ball in the seats, it is a run for the Orioles. But you know, I know Scott, our cool ball hitting coach, and them, they're constantly talking about staying within themselves and not trying to. But it's fun to watch, but sometimes it can be a trap too. But those guys haven't fallen into it.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Today's manager's report, Ubaldo Jimenez on the mound. I know we have this conversation a lot. His last two starts, it's 11 runs, 17 hits, 9 and a third. We've seen the good. We've seen the bad. Is it both either way? It's fastball command, whether it's there or whether it isn't.
Sure. You know, that sounds real comfortable, but if you see that early in the game, he'll give us a chance to win. But that's a challenge. You know, everybody in our rotation has had their moments, and you know, and I understand, and Ubaldo understands, you know, why there's that scrutiny, and you know, he's capable of better, and today he'll get an opportunity.
You're seeing another lefty today with Ariel Miranda. Obviously, this organization knows him well because he came from here. Has anything about him changed from when you had him to what he's doing right now?
No, you know, we didn't know a whole lot about him. Obviously, he wasn't here very long, but, you know, we got a every fifth day starter in Wade Miley, and we just, you know, I think he's – what's changed about him is the opportunity he's gotten, command of the fastball. Well, he's got a split and a changeup, and – very similar to the guy that we traded. We knew he would pitch in the big leagues at some point. And, you know, he's had, for the most part, a good season. We hope he has a bump in the road today.
And Wellington Castillo behind the plate again today. Are you just basically going with a hot hand here because he's swinging the bat really well and how well he's doing against lefties?
Well, it's not really a day. It's more of a 3 o'clock game. And the rest that both our catchers have gotten, we felt like very much like our relief pitchers that as we get into September and we're going to be able to ride hot hands, which we've been able to do, and also hot hands with pitchers. You know, catching, you know, and Wellington's on a good roll on both sides of the ball.
Should I ask for a J.J. Hardy update?
You can ask. I know they were rained out yesterday, and I'm not sure if he's DHing or playing today, but, you know, he's on schedule, making little strides every day, and, you know, I think you'll see him sometime in early September.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Well, the Orioles this season, they could have something in common with the 1974 Orioles. They're working on it, and Jim Hunter and Jim Palmer, they'll tell you about it when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Late season playoff pushes. We'll talk it over with Jim Palmer after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Mariners, daytime baseball at Camden Yards. Birds looking for a three-game sweep and visiting with Jim Palmer. And Jim, you brought to my attention the other day, and I thought it was fascinating. The 1974 Orioles on August 28th were 63-65. On August 28th, the other day, this team was 65-65. So very similar record. But your team in 1974 finished 28-6 to win the division. Now, what was it about leading up to August 28th, and then what happened after August 28th for you to play that well?
Well, for me, I remember, you know, in my hotel room, I don't know if it was Texas or Minnesota, and the game of the week, which, you know, was a big thing back then, and Kurt Gowdy came on, and of course he had, you know, done a Red Sox games forever, and he goes, welcome to the Red Sox, the NBC broadcast. And he went on, the Red Sox had an 8-game lead at that particular time, and they were playing. And they had 45 games to go, and Kurt said that if the Red Sox went 22-23, 22 wins, 23 losses, the Orioles and the Yankees, we were both 8 games back, would have to play 700 ball. And I'm laying there thinking, whoa, we really have our work cut out for us. Well, we didn't know that the Red Sox would go on an 8-game losing streak. So now all of a sudden, instead of going 22-23, they got to go 22-15 after you've just lost 8 in a row and other teams are gaining on you. It's not always easy to do. So, a couple of things happened. Number one, we knew we had good pitching. We, you know, Earl Weaver was a manager, and we had a meeting at Paul Blair's house on an off day. Earl Williams was up, who was one of our catchers. He was up visiting his family in New Jersey, but everybody else came, and we decided it was nothing against Earl, but, you know, Earl loved the 3-run home run. We weren't hitting them, and we were going to have our own bunt sign, and we would try to get guys over, and we knew we could win 2-1, 3-2, 1-0, as it would turn out. And we just realized, you know, we'd gone to the playoffs the year before, lost to Oakland, that we had a better ball club than we had been playing. And I kind of love what the Orioles are doing here in 2017. You know, I mean, the pitching certainly a little bit different back then than there. So, Tim McCarver loves to tell the story. He gets traded right before the trading deadline on, August 31st. They come to Baltimore. I think Grimsley and Cuellar shut him out 1-0, 2-0, or something like that. In the first games, there's an off day. I pitched the third game. We win 6-0, and then we go to New York, pitch 2 more shutouts, so 5 straight shutouts. And Tim, he said, I joined a first-place club. We don't even score a run. So the pitching got very good. And probably the universal lesson that I learned, I had played another pennant winners, obviously, in 73, had won we had won in 69, 70, and 71, 66. But we usually had pretty significant leads. We had never had to come from behind. And what I learned as we went down that stretch over, 34 games, winning 28 of them, that when you play on that kind of ball club, and yes, they expand the rosters, everybody can come to the ballpark and make a difference on that particular day. Now, obviously, that can start in April, and it does for a lot of clubs. But I think that's the one lesson, because it was, whether it was Etcheverry, in game 162, hitting a double off in the snow flurries in Detroit off of John Hiller, and Milwaukee beating the Yankees that night, and, because the Red Sox, they finished third that year. I mean, they really went into a swoon. So, I guess the lesson I learned was that everybody can make a difference, and not only 25 men, but in September, maybe more than that. And the fact that it's fun to be in a pennant race, because it really does. And I think we've seen a little bit with the acquisition of Tim Beckham. It kind of brings everybody to the highest level that you can play this game at.
All right, your team in 74 got it going with a 10-game winning streak, and then you finished the season on a 9-game winning streak. This year's club brings a 6-game winning streak into today's game, so they have a ways to go, but they're off to a start. What are you seeing with this team that has enabled them to turn it around?
Well, the starting pitching, it hasn't been great all year, but it's been better. The bullpen's healthy. Beckham certainly helped. I mean, the energy level, because, he's not J.J. Hardy defensively. He never will be. J.J. was that good, 3 gold gloves. And, we saw that with Beckham last night with a couple of errors. But, he's just kind of energized this offense. And then you go down the rest of the list. I had a talk with Manny Machado when we were in Chicago, and I said, Manny, you just got to give yourself 2 months. You know, when you start out 1-5, 2-7 as a pitcher, they can't ever take the losses away. But nobody's going to even remember if you get back to being yourself, which is to use right field and take a walk when they're going to walk you. Because when you get hot, you'll get 6 weeks, 2 months down the road. I mean, the man's hit 12 home runs in the month of August. You know, Scope hit his 29th. Manny hit his 30th. Chris Davis, you know, though he struck out 3 times last night, swinging the bat a little bit better. Adam Jones is, you know, doing what he's does. You know, he hit 282 a couple of years in a row because he hit the ball to right field. What's he doing now? Hitting the ball to right field. You know, they're just a better ball club. You know, Rickard had to go out because of roster problems. Now Gentry all of a sudden starts playing well. So, you know, a lot of the things that happened in 1974 are happening for the Orioles. You know, different names. But again, you know, the ability to come to the ballpark and make a difference. And, you know, you get Britton back. Maybe he's not Zach Britton of 2016 when he was perfect, 47 out of 47, but he solidifies the bullpen. And, you know, they have a lot of guys out there. You know, Day's pitching better. You know, he had one stretch of, 6 games where he threw 4 home runs, but he's back kind of being where he is. Gibbons, you know, you kind of, you know, talk to Michael, hey, you know, pitched a lot of stressful situations, slow everything down. He's still learning at this level, even though he's done a great job for him. So, you know, Brock, I mean, you just have a lot of names up and down your lineup, whether the pitchers or hitters, that can play. Seth Smith, if you know, everybody talked about, well, you're going to get Seth Smith. He's not going to hit that many home runs, but he had 12 to maybe 16, 18 home runs, but the on-base percentage. Where's his on-base percentage? You know, one of the highest on the ball club. So, you know, Wellington Castillo, you don't win without good catching. You know, last year, Caleb Joseph doesn't get an RBI this year. He's, you know, done a great job. So, you know, it's just a ball club that is gelling, and, you know, it's a big game, obviously, today because of Baldo Jimenez. I mean, when do you throw a guy with an ERA closer to 7 than 6 in a pennant race? But hopefully, you know, we know he's kind of like the box of chocolates that Forrest Gump talked about. You never know what you're going to get, but when he's good, he can be very good.
Daytime baseball. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at the ballpark. What a day. What a day indeed. Orioles complete a 3-game sweep of the Seattle Ball Club as they win the finale by a score of 8-7. It really kind of an up-and-down day, but it ended up, and that's the most important thing, as they pick up their 7th consecutive victory. And the Orioles now are 19-12. The last 31 games they played, they are now 26-19 since the All-Star break. And today they could pick up a game. Actually, they could pick up a game and a half on the Yankees. Remember, the Yankees right now, the number 1 wild card. And so the Orioles would then be 2.5 games behind the Yankees if the Yankees lose the second game of their doubleheader against the Cleveland Indians. They would be swept in that doubleheader. Now, at the moment, they have tied the Angels now in the wild card race as they pick up a half a game on the Angels. The Angels are playing later tonight. Now, Ubaldo Jimenez started this game, and early in the game, boy, did he look good. The first inning, he gave up a one-out double on a 9-pitch at bat by Yonder Alonso, but he got 2 outs after that. And then he came back in the second inning. He came back with a 1-2-3, and he did it on just 9 pitches. And the 0-2 to him. Fastball, swing and a miss. Good morning, good afternoon, and buenas noches. Ubaldo gets Zunino on 3 pitches. He gets him 1-2-3 in the second inning. Maravilloso. Yeah, Ubaldo looked real good early in the game, and well, it came to the bottom of the second inning. Scope came up, and he gave him an early lead. Here comes a 1-1, and Mancini, fly ball, left center. That ball is going. Way back there, Heredia. Way back there, perfect, bye-bye. Trey Mancini has found the Oriole bullpen. Just to the left of that 410 sign out there, a solo, his 23rd, and it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. Yeah, just like that. I think I said Scope. Well, actually, Scope is actually Pig Latin for Mancini. And that was Mancini. Hit the home run to give him a 1-0 lead. After that, Davis a single. And then after Trumbo struck out, well, Castillo came up with a count 3-2. Davis had a head start at first base. Castillo waits, count 3-2. And Miranda, he delivers. There goes Davis. His line drive, fair ball. Inside the foul line, back at third. Head ball is heading for the corner. Davis heading for third. Dickerson waving him in. And there'll be no relay. The ball is dropped by the relay man out there. And so Davis scores. He got the head start, and Castillo drives him in with a double, and it's a 2-0 Oriole lead. Oh, there you go. Took advantage of a 3-2 count, and Ubaldo had the early 2-0 lead. And then for Ubaldo came the fateful third inning when all of a sudden, like magic, his stuff kind of disappeared. One out, bases empty. Taylor Motter got a base hit. And then Ben Gamel, he got a base hit. And then Alonzo, he got a base on balls. And then Nelson Cruz came up to hit, and he got a bad break. Ubaldo got a bad break.
Cruz has hit into 11 double plays on the year. Ubaldo would love to get a ground ball here. And the 0-1 swinging a ground ball towards the middle. It hits the base and deflects into left field. And two runs are going to score. We are tied. An unlucky break for the Orioles that would have at least been one out, maybe two to end the inning. And the ball hit the base and deflected past Beckham. So that is a two-run single, and we are tied.
And so Nelson Cruz, RBI's numbers 102 and number 103. Yep, tie game. And then Cano, he singled after Seager struck out. That's when Haniger came up to hit, and that's when Ubaldo ended his day.
0-2 the count on Haniger, bases loaded. And the pitch, swing and a line drive, base hit left field. He hung a breaking ball. Here's Alonzo to score, Cruz to score. Going to third is Cano, and Mancini fires back into Beckham, and on at second base with a two-run double, Mitch Haniger. He could not have thrown a more hittable pitch. He was 0-2. He came sidearm, as he does occasionally with the breaking ball, and he hung it. And Haniger in defensive mode down 0-2. He doubles in the left field, and that's going to do it for Ubaldo. This is going to be a very short start.
Yeah, Ubaldo, Buck came out, and Ubaldo got lifted after just 54 pitches. Buck had seen enough, so he made his exit. Miguel Castro came in to pitch, and the first man he faced was the catcher, Mike Zunino.
2-0 on Zunino. And the pitch, swinging a high pop-up, shallow center. Jones was deep. Beckham is out. Jones is charging in, and the ball falls in for a base hit. And two more runs are going to score. Jones was deep on Zunino. Beckham couldn't get there, and the ball fell between them. So that is a two-run single, a six-run inning, and it is 6-2 Seattle.
And really, that was a ball that somebody should have been able to catch, but nobody got to it. It landed and drove in a couple of big runs. After that, Miguel Castro was just about perfect. He retired after that, seven consecutive batters, until he went to work in the sixth inning. But by then, the Orioles, well, they got back in the game. They were now 6-2, with two outs and the bases empty. In the bottom of the fourth inning, Trumbo got a base hit on a real good at-bat. So he was on base for Wellington Castillo.
Miranda deals the 1-1, swinging a high fly ball. Deep left field, that ball has a chance. It is back, and that ball is gone. Castillo goes deep, and the O's are right back in it. It is a 6-4 Seattle lead. Wellington Castillo with a 3-RBI game.
Pat Castillo has now hit 4 home runs in his last 7 starts. Now today, Castillo made his 4th consecutive start behind the plate. So, yeah, they were back in it. And then just moments after the Castillo home run.
1-1 on Gentry. Miranda deals, swinging a high fly ball, deep left field again. This ball's got a chance, and that ball is gone. Craig Gentry going deep. Back to back go the Birds. It's a one-run game.
And all of that was against a Seattle starter, the left-hander Adiel Miranda, who at that point had given up 3 home runs. And then came the bottom of the 5th inning, one out, and the bases empty in a one-run game. That's when the game was tied again. I mean, coming into the game, Miranda had given up 31 home runs. Rick Porcello of the Boston Red Sox had also given up 31. John Lackey of the Cubs had given up 32. And Ricky Nolasco of the Angels had given up 32. So Miranda is number one. There's a drive, hit to deep left, way back there, a rocket, pavement, bye-bye. Jonathan Scope, a taser shot, number 30 for him, and he has tied the game in the bottom of the 5th inning. And now Miranda has given up 4 home runs in less than 5 innings. And it's a 6-6 game. So there you have it. Orioles got back in the game by hitting balls out of the ballpark. And then came the 6th inning, one out, bases empty. Castillo got his 3rd hit. And then Gentry, he got a base on balls. Beckham then singled to load the bases for Manny Machado.
Castillo at 3rd, Gentry at 2nd, Beckham at 1st. So the speed increases as you go from third to first. And Beckham's not being held. He's getting a big lead off first base. Here's the 1-0, swinging a line drive right field, chasing Haniger back. He makes the catch, tagging at third, coming to the plate is Castillo, and the O's get the lead on a sack fly by Machado.
So there you go. Isn't that amazing? Orioles took the lead on a ball that didn't leave the ballpark. They had the one-run lead. Now, the Oriole bullpen today was marvelous. I mean, Miguel Castro, 3 1/3 scoreless. Blyer came in. He got the only man he faced. Darren O'Day came in. He got the only two men that he faced. And then Brock came in to pitch in the top of the eighth inning with a one-run lead. Now, he did retire the first two hitters. But then Haniger came up to hit, and that's when the game again got tied. There's the fly ball to right center. Pretty deep. Adam Jones again racing back. Looking behind him, and that ball is gone. That ball gets out. It got over the wall a little bit toward right center, and this game is all tied up. So Mitch Haniger having a real big day with those two doubles and now the game-tying home run in the eighth inning. And so it all came down to the bottom of the eighth inning against the Seattle bullpen. And it was Castillo again to get the inning started. What'd he do? He singled. So Castillo, a four-hit game, he was on base, the would-be lead run, and maybe the winning run. Gentry came up. He bunted Castillo to second base. One out. Caleb Joseph came in to pinch run at second base. Beckham then lined out to shortstop. The throw to second base, while the umpire said, had doubled up Caleb Joseph, who could not get back. But then, upon further review on a manager's challenge, it took 38 seconds. They changed the call. Caleb did get back to the bag at second base. And so the inning lived. Manny Machado was walked intentionally. And then there was another pitching change. They brought in the left-hander Zepchinski to go to work on Jonathan Scope. Kind of an unusual move, a left-hander coming in to pitch to a right-hand batter. Now, Scope came in. He's second in the league in RBIs. And in that situation, we found out why. So Zepchinski, he delivers, and Scope gets the ground ball up the middle. Base hit, left center, right past the shortstop. Caleb coming in, and now Heredia overruns the ball. Machado turning third, and he pulls up, and there's, nope, now he's going to be in a rundown. Manny being chased to third, and now being chased toward the plate, and now being chased to third, and now tagged out by the pitcher, Zepchinski. And the inning is over, but the run has scored. Yep, it scored. Exciting, but it did score. And then Britton came out for the ninth. He got the first two outs. But then Segura, a pinch hitter, got a base hit to extend the game. The tying run was on base for Seattle. Valencia came up to hit, and that's when Britton would end the game. And now the crowd again standing. It has been a glorious Wednesday afternoon. And a real good ball game, too. Back and forth, back and forth. And now the ninth inning, Britton trying to end it. The count 2-2. Look at first, he comes home. Bang, and a miss, he struck him out. He got him. Ball game is over, he got him at 96. Orioles, in the win column again. They have won 7 in a row. And they are climbing up the charts. Well, once again, the Orioles come off the bench, and they come off the field, and they meet in the middle of the infield out there at second base. And they congratulate each other. They have won 7 in a row, and they keep moving up. And now the Blue Jays are coming to town. Yeah, that's tomorrow night, first of a 3-game series. Yeah, right now the Orioles are like a hit record. They're on the billboard, and they're rising with a bullet the way things are going right now. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Wellington Castillo. Castillo, by the way, after the game, got pied by his young son. You had to see it. It was a lot of fun. Very cute. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter here at Camden Yards, and a thriller for the O's as they win it 8-7 to complete the 3-game sweep of Seattle. So the Orioles back-to-back sweeps at Boston and here against the Mariners. And the Orioles have won 7 consecutive games for the first time since June the 22nd through the 29th last year. And they're now 68-65. So they have gone from 4 below to 3 above 500. During this winning streak. Now, Wellington Castillo had a huge day. He went 4-for-4, RBI double, 2-run homer, and it was his base hit leading off in the eighth that led to the game-winning run. Following the game, Wellington Castillo, the walk-off interview on Masson with Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer.
Well, what a day for Wellington Castillo and for the Orioles. Wellington had his first four-hit ballgame as an Oriole, picking up two singles, a double, a home run, three RBIs, and three runs scored. Wellington, that's a whole month of work in one day. Nice job.
Thank you.
What's the bat since the All-Star break has been so good? Is there any particular change or anything you did that's heated you up like this?
Not really. You know, I just continue to do my routine and don't try to do too much at the plate, you know, and try to keep it simple.
Well, you know, Vladimir Guerrero played here for a while, and I'm going, okay, he could hit everything. And, you know, he hit balls, and now all of a sudden, I mean, you're hitting balls at the Orioles at your chest like you're Vlad. Is that, and I, you know, all year long, you know, if you use the whole field, but lately it looks like, it's almost looks like you know what's coming. I mean, what, four home runs now in the last six, seven games, 13, 14 hits. You've been red hot. Is it just seeing the ball better or just?
I just seeing the ball better. And
yeah. Uh-oh. It's a little. It's a little man. Here, Papa. See how what a good person Adam is. He lets the youngster put the pie in Wellington's face. There's a bit of familiarity there, I see. Yeah. That's Wellington's youngster, I believe. We'll find out when Wellington gets back on with us, and because he did such a good job that time.
Sorry, guys.
That's no, all right. That's all right. Wellington, no. Tell us now. Who, that's your youngster right there, right?
Yeah, that's one of those. I have two. He's my older one.
What's his name?
Wellington Daniel.
Wonderful. He did a good, very good job of that, I must say.
He is my friend. He's really hard with that.
Hey, can you talk a bit about Castro and the job he's doing and what you see on the mound and you're behind the plate with him?
Oh, you know what, he's been doing really good job. You know, he's a power pitcher, throw a lot of strike, you know, and he going to the mound and compete out there. He's gonna go right off the hitter with the fastball, you know, and the movement of the fastball, that's the best stuff to him and the slider, you know, and he's a competitor out there, and he told me he's just gonna go right out of hitter.
But, you know, he's only 22, and it looks like his windup's got a little bit better, his command's a little bit better. Looks like, you know, and they don't find too many guys coming out of the bullpen in clutch situations that will throw any pitch at any particular time. And it seems like in the last month, much more confident.
He's not afraid, honestly. He's not afraid to throw a strike. He go right off of the hitter. He's young. He's really young. But, you know, the confidence that he have in himself and any pitch that he got, is making better. So plus he have a 95 to 100 minor fastball with movement, so that helping a lot too.
Well, I got one more question. We caught to Caleb Joseph on the bench the other night after you came on and got a big hit. You two seem to cheer for one another. I know you want to catch every day. I know that, you know, you share because that's what's best for the ball club, but you two seem to have a real good rapport. Is that fair?
We got a great relationship, you know. Anytime, like a day to day, I have a long time not caught Ubaldo, and I just come to him and ask him what was working for him and what is the go-to pitch, you know, stuff like that. He been really helpful for me, and, you know, like you say, I want to play every day. He want to play every day too, so, but that's we not made that decision, so we just got to be ready every day to come to the ballpark and do our job and try to win some ball games.
Well, you're doing that. Wellington, thank you very much.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On a great day.
Thank you.
Wellington Castillo with a huge afternoon as he helped the Orioles get the lead in the second inning, then helped the Orioles get back in it in the fourth. And he scored a run in the sixth, and then his position scored a run. It was Caleb that actually scored the run, but Wellington's leadoff single led to the game-winning run in the eighth inning, and the Orioles pull it out to complete the sweep 8-7 over Seattle. So the Orioles win at 8-7. They run their winning streak to seven consecutive games. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
How impressed were you with the way the team responded, not just from the 6-2 deficit, but then after losing the lead in the eighth and coming back again like that?
Well, you know, as we talked about earlier, it's just here, at this time, we've been able to dial up what was needed on a given day. We're not always going to be perfect in the pitching department. That's a tough act to follow last night. But, you know, it's a hungry club getting ready to go home, have an off day, and it's really, really hard, one, to win a Major League Baseball game. It's really hard to win three games in a row off the same team. So that was a challenge today. Our guys were ready.
In this streak that you have, what do you like? What do you like about how the club's doing?
Well, I think we kind of know, you know, it's okay. What do we need to do tonight to win? That's been that way every night, though. But you know, you try to. But there's been different things that have been the difference maker. So there's a lot of things that are contributing, whether it's defense or a good base running play or a good relay, throw out somebody stealing, a really well pitched game. You know, what's really tough. You know, you come through the motion of winning three games in Fenway and then come back home, and there's another challenge of a team that you're trying to catch ahead of you. So, but it's that time of year, and you know, you can see the finish line a little bit now.
Buck, you talked about it before the game, but the way things are going right now for Wellington on both sides of the game.
Yeah, that's a good point, both sides of the game. He's, you know, hitters get hot and get in a groove. Catchers, infielders, defensively, there's a little bit of that too, not like hitting as much. But, you know, he's the tempo and the pitching, you know, he and Caleb, you know, we're lucky where they got 24, 25 home runs between them. And, you know, on the defensive side of it, we don't have to think about one guy versus another. All the pitchers are comfortable throwing to both of them and the bullpen. So that's unusual. Usually you've got a lot of, you know, kind of back burner stuff. But I think one thing, because I think the pitchers respect both of them, how much it means to them to call and catch a good game.
You had Castro up pretty early in Ubaldo's stint. Did you just see something that you really didn't like about the way?
Well, I don't like doing that. You know, sometimes you take consideration the fact that a potential double play ball hits the bag. The other two runs, we had a pop-up that just got in no man's land. So that's unfortunate what the numbers will read like. I thought he was carrying decent stuff, but just, you know, you got Zanino up there that's 3-for-4 off of him with some damage. It's just we had a chance there to get out of that at 4-2. And, you know, we knew we were going to – but because of the job Dylan did last night, we knew we were really in a good spot with the bullpen. But I thought he ran into some bad luck too today. You know, you jam Cruz and you got a potential double play. I went back and looked at the overhead between innings. I think we would have turned two there. It'd been close. Usually when guys get jammed, they don't get out of the box too well. But, you know, it's – that was unfortunate. I feel bad, you know, taking the guy out that early. But, you know, we're in a little different situation, especially with some of our guys rested down there.
But with Castro, do these kinds of outings make you think he should be in the rotation, or is he too valuable in his relief role?
Yes. No, of course. You know, we know, but, you know, it's one of those things, you take him out, who's going to fill his shoes, and, you know, it's that's been an important role for us, but certainly I think everybody in the back of their minds, you see a pitcher with three pitches, pitch extended innings, you certainly consider that, and I'm sure you understand that we have.
Look, after seeing the team kind of go, you know, one win here, one loss, two losses, one win, kind of back and forth, this winning streak, is this kind of what you've been waiting for, just this team to kind of pick up and kind of collect these?
I don't know about we. I think we have. I think the players have. They know that you know, it's a very mature group, and they've been through these battles in August and September. You know, this is a battle-tested team, and I think they realize what has to happen for us to get an opportunity to roll the dice in October, and there's a lot of bridges to cross, obviously. We're still not where we need to be.
I know you talk a lot about, you know, after a while, maybe you start looking at the standings. Are you starting to look at them now?
Yeah, I did. Day before yesterday. First time in a long time. First time I didn't want to. Yeah, I did. I could tell you a fib, but I did. I did.
Were you pretty confident about the replay call? I mean, you obviously had to sit, you had to get another look at it, but were you pretty confident that Caleb was safe?
We were going to, you know, in the eighth inning, where you're not losing a whole lot, we were going to probably challenge it if it was 50-50, but, you know, John and our people up there, the only time they've been wrong is when we think that New York might be wrong, for the most part. And there are times when you challenge one knowing that it's probably later in the game, because sometimes you don't know what they're looking at if they've got something different. But, you know, John was 100% sure that was going to be overturned. And it was a pretty short look at it, wasn't it? I haven't seen it yet. Did y'all see one? I don't look out on the board either, because that's kind of a little biased most of the time. was it obviously safe?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have a foot race between Wellington and Caleb next year. I told Wellington, he said, no, he can outrun me.
So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win the finale here to complete the three-game sweep, 8-7 the final over the Mariners.